Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Halfway through today's edition of The Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm not Jason or Corey Anderson. I am Joshua Briscoe. And if that's okay with you, then stick around. And if not, then stick around anyway. Give me a shot. Rudy Salazar in studio, but currently keeping an eye on Andy Reid's upcoming press conference. We will hear from the head coach of the Chiefs in just a little bit. I'm sure we'll have plenty of news, or at least declining to provide news, on Tyrann Mathieu and Willie Gay Jr. We will get there shortly. Marco Marquez, who ran the show for the first couple hours, has tagged out. Beards McFly has tagged in. So almost entirely The Zone here for the next couple of hours. While we wait for Andy Reid and the updates from the presser, there are a handful of Chiefs topics I've been sort of teasing now, kind of by accident for the last 2 hours. I didn't really mean to tease this in like the third minute of the show and then not get to it until the start of... Are we in hour number three already? I guess we are. This show's flying by. Holy smokes. But here we are, and I have basically teased this for 2 hours, so my apologies. This is some interesting stuff. Andy Reid's presser started. We'll bring you the audio in a little while, but Andy Reid says the Chiefs are near 100% vaccination rate, which makes me think that it's one or two, because that is, if you're still going to say nearly 100%, I don't think it can be like three or four. So it's probably one or two. It was pretty evident during training camp that Daniel Sorensen was not vaccinated. Don't know if that's changed. Could have been. Maybe he's the holdup. Don't know. But anyway, thought that was kind of interesting. And we'll get more on on Mathieu and everyone else after that. But the thing that I mentioned earlier, we talked about it a little bit with Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, is specifically the loss of Willie Gay through these first 3 weeks of the season. Because one of the things over the course of Steve Spagnuolo's time in Kansas City that has haunted me too many times now, it feels like, and I don't know why this is the one that sticks out, but I can just perfectly envision Aaron Jones catching passes out of the backfield when the Chiefs played the Packers 2 years ago, because that was when Matt Moore was starting at quarterback for the Chiefs, because Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers have not gone head-to-head yet still, despite, you know, having a few chances to get really close to those games. But I remember Aaron Jones being that guy. I remember this being a bigger problem in 2019, and I think it was less of a thing in 2020, but it's still something that concerns me a little bit with this defense. I do think that this is a roster that defensively needs Willie Gay in the middle of it, or near the middle of it, with his athleticism that is really hard to find in this league, because we're talking about an incredible athlete among a huge group of other incredible athletes. But specifically with his speed from the linebacker position and his versatility and what we should be able to get to see from him in coverage this year, whenever he returns, hopefully it's soon, hopefully it's just missing 3 weeks. It could be longer, we don't know though. He has the speed and size to be the running back out of the backfield stopper that this team has largely lacked. And look, a slimmed down, speedier Anthony Hitchens may be able to take that on more so than he has in years past. Ben Neiman is not a nightmare in that role. Dan Sorensen is not a nightmare in that role. I don't know, though, with the depth being continually tested right now, with Tyrann Mathieu very much a TBD at the safety position. If he's not out there, then Dan Sorensen's going to have to play a whole lot of safety, or else Armani Watts, or maybe a game day activation from the practice squad for Zane Anderson or Devin Key ends up having to play a lot of safety. I think it's much more likely that Dan Sorensen plays a ton next to Juan Thornhill back there if Mathieu can't go in week one because he has tested positive for COVID. We do not know that right now. Andy Reid said there's a very vague sort of like we'll see update. We'll get that in his own words here again in probably about 10 or 15 minutes. But if you do see that depth tested, we all remember Kareem Hunt as a pass catcher out of the backfield is a weapon. Last year, Nick Chubb in 12 games had 16 receptions, averaged almost 9.5 yards per reception on those. Kareem Hunt had 5 receiving touchdowns last year for the Browns. Hunt, the more natural pass catcher, but Chubb perfectly capable of having that in his repertoire. Then you can even look ahead to week 2 against the Ravens. No J.K. Dobbins. He's hurt, but Gus Edwards is not necessarily to get to week 3, Austin Eckler. But at that point, you're trying to figure out ways to manage Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if the Chiefs defense really has anybody better suited to be able to stay at that linebacker depth and then maybe take an angle to limit Lamar Jackson's effectiveness on the ground or even just shoot a gap than Willie Gay Jr. would be. So that's probably less as a running back coverer, although you give Lamar Jackson a chance to take some of those checkdowns. He will take them and he'll toss it off to a running back in a way that will be totally worth his time. They will punish the Chiefs if they can't stop that, but they're also not Austin Eckler and the Chargers with Justin Herbert in week 3. I don't know what the plan's going to be for Austin Eckler. At that point, you certainly expect Matthew back, and hopefully if he's been asymptomatic, hopefully he's able to return at full health and not, you know, Myles Garrett played last year after his COVID positive, but he was talking, I mean, he's talked about his like lung capacity. Like he talked about the difficulties that came with that. And that's a real, real, real concern. So hopefully for Matthew, it's a very limited turnaround. But are you going to have Tyrann Mathieu devoted to Austin Eckler? Or how often would that happen? Could that happen in week 1 if Matthew is out there? Again, if they're both not out there, we're talking about Ben Neiman and Dan Sorensen having to do things that were going to be Willie Gay and Tyrann Mathieu's jobs. Matt Derrick last hour, I think, fittingly, fairly accurately, mentioned Nick Bolton. And I think that if Nick Bolton has to step in to be a downhill player, to be a guy that is there to punish running backs in the middle of the defense, I think he's able to do that as a rookie, would be my guess. Him having to go cover an athletic running back in space, be it Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, is not a matchup that I would say is advantage Chiefs, to put it sort of frankly. Last year for the Ravens, most of those pass catches from the running back position did go to J.K. Dobbins. I don't know what their plan is going to be for this year. It'll be certainly bear watching whenever we get there to week 2. But again, you don't have to look very hard in these first 3 games to find some really dynamic athletes where Willie Gay would be a guy that you would love to be able to see fully on the field, fully at full speed, fully not worrying about his toe, and being able to be the reverse card in Uno whenever a team thinks they have a great matchup with their running back against linebackers. That was one of the arguments, you know, for drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Like, and some of that is real stuff. You don't have to draft a running back in the first round to get it. I'm talking about, you know, Gus Edwards, Austin Eckler, for God's sakes. But one of the arguments for Clyde, one of the arguments for why Austin Eckler is the player that he is right now, wherever you're drafted, whatever, is that is a place where you can typically find some pretty good matchups. If you can get a running back out of the backfield and find him matched up with a linebacker who's wearing a neck roll, you're in awesome shape. If you find him matched up against a linebacker who's a borderline defensive back, a borderline safety, whatever, then it is an extremely different situation. And Willie Gay would be one of those guys that you would say can really confidently offset some of those matchups that defenses typically lose. And these first 3 weeks are a tough time to lose out on him in that situation. Then week 4, Jalen Hurts is another mobile quarterback who's going to run the ball, who can throw the ball to Miles Sanders, who will catch the ball out of the backfield, and you get to the Bills in week 5. I'm not trying to be like big picture alarmist. This is very much like, hey, the Chiefs are the best team in football, and they lost for the first 3 weeks at least. Maybe they're like 5th most important, 6th most important defensive player, being Willie Gay. This isn't the same thing as if they were out Tyrann Mathieu for 3 weeks. Certainly isn't the same thing as if they were without Chris Jones or, you know, Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, obviously Patrick Mahomes. But it's an important piece that I do think can change the complexion of what the Chiefs do through these first 3 weeks defensively. And it's also disappointing because I don't think this isn't the same as losing rookie Willie Gay Jr. for his first 3 weeks whenever you're not really sure what he's actually going to be able to bring to the table anyway. This isn't the same as losing, you know, Ben Neiman or a player that maybe you think, I really think that Dorian O'Daniel still has some upside. Willie Gay is the guy that we were waiting for throughout last season, ultimately got hurt, never really fully got unveiled in the way that I think a lot of us were expecting him to. This whole offseason, this whole preseason, training camp, Willie Gay has been like one of the first, if you said, hey, give me five things I need to know about the Chiefs this year that maybe not everybody knows about, I would have said, and I guess I would still probably say this, but I mean, it's different now. So I think the Chiefs' defense has a chance to be sneaky good. I think the cornerback spot still has its question marks with cornerback three. But at this point, with Spags' system and with a combination of Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, Rashad Fenton, having Snead and Ward obviously be your first two guys, I think it's probably going to be fine. And then you compare that, you go straight to the sub-packages. We're talking about cornerback three, obviously. Then you say, you know what? With Anthony Hitchens and Willie Gay being your two linebackers who stay on the field whenever one of them comes off, whenever one linebacker comes off, either Bolton or Neiman probably. Well, you know what? I think there's something. I think there's something exciting about that duo there, that just loses some of its shine. If you're saying, well, you know, it's Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman out here on 3rd and 7. Let's see if Jarvis Landry can get open over the middle. I feel very differently about that. Or let's, you know, who's covering Kareem Hunt out of the backfield on this play? I wanted it to be Willie Gay. I think his ceiling is there. And injuries are always a part of it, right? I mean, and he's now had his share of them, and I don't have any reason to think that his toe injury is somehow connected to a hamstring or whatever. Like, I think that's kind of irresponsible whenever we talk about, you know, as a player injury prone or whatever. They at least need to probably be, like, a similar type. We're talking about a toe. Patrick Mahomes has had his knee dislocated, got choked out, and also got turf toe. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is injury prone, despite having three pretty major injuries in his short to this point NFL career. So, you know, I would say be careful about tossing that term around too willy nilly. That wasn't going to be a willy pun, but then I realized it right before I said it, and then I realized it was a pun. But I didn't mean it to be. I don't know if that protects me at all from being a truly terrible pun. But this is a safe space. This is the zone. We throw puns around. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. But if you were going to... If I was in the Browns' shoes right now, game planning for the Chiefs' defense this week, I would definitely see if I could test whoever that third corner ends up being. Presumably it's Mike Hughes. I would see if I could get Odell Beckham matched up with Hughes and try to test him that way. But we talked about this on Almost Entirely Sports a couple weeks ago with Craig Stout. I've now mentioned twice in today's show, weirdly. Spags does a really, really, really good job at letting his corners use the boundary as help, as a defender, and only really having to deal with a smaller slice of the field than some other corners might have to because of the help that can be found in the middle of the field, which is largely thanks to Tyrann Mathieu. If Tyrann Mathieu, and, you know, Thorne, really all the safeties, the way that they all move, the corners seem to know that most of the time they're going to have some help in the most difficult parts of the field for them, because you get a receiver in space, now they have so many different ways that they can try to beat you as a cornerback. If you're able to limit what the corners actually have to worry about handling solo, you take a talent like Hughes or Baker and put them in that situation, you get the best out of them. That's the transaction that I think we've seen be so successful for Spagnuolo corners to this point here in Kansas City. So I think that still is something that the Chiefs should be able to, you know, not ever put Hughes versus Beckham on an island. But I think you attack that part of the field. You attack that matchup and see if Mike Hughes is ready for prime time. He looked good in the preseason. He looked great in camp. I think he certainly earned that spot. But if you're the Browns, make him prove it to you. Make him prove that he still got it. But more than anything, I would try to figure out just about as quickly as possible, can I get the ball to Kareem Hunt in space? Can I get the ball to him down the field a little bit? Is there something we can steal from the Chiefs' offense where you all of a sudden you see a fullback running down the sideline? Can we see if we can get Kareem Hunt matched up with Anthony Hitchens or Ben Neiman? And again, they can do that with Nick Chubb as well. Both of those guys can catch passes, but Hunt is a more natural pass catcher in my eyes. They can certainly both run the ball very, very well. Chubb is a more dominant runner, I think, at this point. But, like, both just a ridiculously talented running back duo, obviously. Which means that you can't just guess whenever somebody's out there. But we've seen it from Kareem Hunt so many times that is something. If you get a little prop bet you like or something, and I'd be interested to see what the over-under on Kareem Hunt in, receptions is. Because I bet it's not a crazy number. Considering that he did not, how many passes did he catch last year? Let's see here. We got 38 receptions over the course of 16 games for Kareem Hunt last season. So you can use that as a benchmark. You're looking at, you know, a little more than two a game. If you found that over under at 2.5, if I was the Browns, I'd be trying to get 3 or 4 touches to him in some space and see how the Chiefs defense react without having Willie Gay out there. And again, to belabor this particular point, this is not me saying the Chiefs are screwed because Willie Gay is not out there. If you said, hey, there's no Willie Gay, but you do have Tyrann Mathieu, I still think the Chiefs probably go 3-0, Browns, Ravens, Chargers. And that is a tough opening trio of games that I still think they win all of, even without Willie Gay. If you take Tyrann Mathieu away for week one, I think it's tougher. I still think they probably win. Just probably a higher scoring game with more pressure on the offense, which I think they will ultimately be able to rise to. But also, as we've talked about, you know, plenty at this point already, on Monday at about 12:20, I'm already at the point of saying, you know, maybe you're sick of hearing this talking point, but Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney versus Orlando Brown Jr. and Lucas Niang. That one's going to be a test. That's going to be a battle. As Matt Derrick pointed out whenever we talked to him last hour, and that's all going to be up on the podcast page as well. But whenever we see that matchup come through, that's going to be an actual test that we have not yet seen to this point. You've seen the one-on-ones in training camp. You've seen the team drills in training camp. You've seen the preseason games, but those preseason games are mostly going up against defensive lines that were running out their twos, or at least their 1.5s at best. Figuring out what exactly this offensive line is largely going to end up being, you're going to get your first actual test of that, an actual taste of that, coming up on Sunday when the Chiefs take on the Browns. That's when you're going to have an actual barometer, and that won't be their final judgment either. Do keep that in mind. This is going to be their first real test. What they look like on September 12th matters a whole lot less than how they look on, you know, in January. But as a step one, it's going to be really interesting. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Rudy Salazar and Beards McFlower, filling in for the Zone here today on this Labor Day. We will take a break. Whenever we come back, we will hear from Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. We'll get a little update on Tyrann Mathieu, the Chiefs' vaccination status, and a whole lot of other things going on right now as the Chiefs have their first press conference and their first week of regular season football heading into the 2021 regular season. That's next here in the Zone. We'll hear from Andy Reid now here in the Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Rudy Salazar and Beards McFly. We're filling in for the Zone gang today. And Andy Reid just spoke to the media a little bit ago. No injury report officially yet. That'll come around later this week. Although there are a few players that, you know, we need to still get a little bit of information from. And Andy Reid was asked about the status of a few of those guys, including if he had anything to share about Tyrann Mathieu, who tested positive for COVID, what is his timeline for coming back and his status for Sunday. Also, the expectations for Nick Bolton with Willie Gay Jr.'s injury keeping him out at least for the 3 weeks, and what they're expecting to get from both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams as they were injured late in training camp, did not participate in the third preseason game. Here's Andy Reid rat-a-tat-tatting through a bunch of those topics.
I don't. He's still in the protocol, so we just have to weighed that out and see where he's at. I mean, I'll know more as we go on. I knew that was going to be the first question, you know, where he was.
Hey, Coach, Aaron asked a question I wanted to ask, but sticking with the house cleaning, Willie Gay is now on injured reserve. How much do you anticipate utilizing Nick Bolton more in the starting package during his absence?
Yeah, so listen, Nick had a good preseason, and I mean, he's worthy of stepping in there and playing, so he'll get some play time, yes, for sure.
Coach, I know that Clyde and Darrell were just a little bit banged up toward the end of camp, and that last preseason game didn't really see them, so I was just curious, your expectation that they'll both be 100% to go for Sunday?
Yeah, so they practiced this past week and did a nice job with it, and look like they're moving around pretty good, so I think we'll be okay there.
I guess it's good that he's optimistic about those guys. If they needed to make a move, they could call Derek Gore up as a game day call up from the practice squad. But I mean, if that was a bigger concern, they probably just keep four guys on the active roster. It sounded like it was just sort of going to be the end of the Darwin Thompson era, one way or another. So that maybe that doesn't really change, but. Definitely interesting there. Nothing new on Tyrann Mathieu. We'll see. It'd be nice to know if he was symptomatic or not. I'm not sure if that phrasing was in the initial question or anything, and I'm not sure that anybody would have given us that answer regardless.
He was just asked just if there was an update on his status for Sunday, basically.
Yeah. And
Reid kind of talks about it in this next clip, essentially. He's not knowing 100% for sure what he can and can't say all the time.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, let's hear that from Andy Reid then, as he was asked where the team's vaccination rate currently stand after training camp cutdowns and the additions to the practice squad. They were about 90% in training camp. Where's the vaccination status stand now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're right there. I mean, we're right at the top. So there are not many that aren't vaccinated. I'll put it that way. I'm not sure what we're supposed to say and not say on that, but we've only, you know, for just about 100%.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Brad, that was actually my question. I'm good. Thanks, Andy.
Yep.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, man.
That's my fault.
You know, sometimes you got to pat your chest, put your hand up, take you in. So you know what?
Yep, that was on me. The second I heard,
I got all ball. Actually,
the
foul.
Sam, I was like, nope, that's forgot to cut that part.
Maybe you know what? We could just roast Sam. I think that's fair.
Hey,
Sam,
it happened twice.
Come up with another question. You got called on, Sam. Come up with another question. You're in the Zoom, Sam.
I'm sorry to put you on blast like that, Sam.
I'm not. Ask about Jody Fortson, who you hate, Sam. we had a conversation about Jody Fortson one of those last days of camp. Dude, you wanna get me to love a running back?
Throw Fortson back there, baby.
At that point, Jody Fortson is literally a flex player in fantasy. Like he is W/R/T.
Yeah.
Like he is just a flex. I mentioned this earlier because I saw the tweets about him saying nearly 100%. You know, cutdowns raise that number, that percentage. So presumably some section, maybe it was a larger, smaller number, I really don't know, but some section of unvaccinated players probably got cut at cutdown day.
For sure.
They are not at 100%. I will say this again, that Daniel Sorensen was pretty evidently not vaccinated whenever he talked to the media in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
he could be the only holdout. He may have been vaccinated since that point at training camp. I really don't know. He was not, you know, like outspokenly like, I'm never going to get this shot. He just was wearing the red wristband and then didn't want to talk about it. And so, you know.
Which is obviously, I mean, the red wristband is code for not vaccinated.
Right.
The NFL says that, but then right. Also the I don't want to talk about it is also code for.
Right. Those are all. And, yeah. And it hasn't, you know, he's a safety. So doesn't get up on the podium as much as Carson Wentz or whatever. So
sure.
He hasn't exactly been hit with a barrage of other questions. And again, I don't know that he has not been vaccinated since then. Because he wasn't. I'm pretty sure that Cole Beasley hasn't gotten sneakily vaccinated because of kind of his whole deal.
Yeah.
Dan Sorensen was not like malicious at the podium or anything. He just didn't want to talk about it. So
if you're Cole Beasley, I feel like at this point, even if you start looking at the science, you're like, you know what? Actually, the science is great here. But you know what? Like, I don't know if you're allowed to.
Will my brand ever recover? You know,
like, at this point, if you're Cole Beasley, like, you just kind of have to ride with it. I feel like good or bad.
I got to make a song about it. You know, yeah. I don't know if that. Yeah, maybe that's my first crossover hit as Cole Beasley rapper. But regardless, it's great that the Chiefs being close to 100% is great news. I have to think that if we're talking about a 53-man roster, although it's a one less than 70-man roster, including the practice squad, which is pretty nice. And so at that point, maybe it's two or three guys. But to say nearly 100% is great news.
Mm-hmm.
And that also very heavily implies that all of your stars are vaccinated, because or at least the enormous majority. Because you know that they don't have like a sneakily unvaccinated offensive line, because that would be not that close to 100% anymore. So I'm guessing it's probably one or two holdouts there, and that's great news there from the Chiefs. Also, a nice reminder that if Patrick Mahomes can handle getting vaccinated, you probably can too. Unless your doctor explicitly told you otherwise. I'm not a doctor. It's not medical advice.
But he plays a doctor on the radio.
But I play a doctor on the radio. I think you should, check with your doctor, perhaps. That would be my suggestion. That's not a doctor.
My doctorly advice is talk to your doctor.
My not a doctor advice is that most of the time, doctor's good. That's my advice. That's not advice. Opinion.
Except for Dr. Jekyll. Not good doctor.
I mean, there have been some famously bad doctors, yes.
What about Dr. Mario?
Boy, I don't know, man. That is an interesting one, because he was very loosey-goosey with the pills.
For sure.
He really...
He is a big, just throw pills out there.
Yeah, and you know...
Dr. Octopus?
Have we checked on Dr. So Doc Ock was definitely a doctor, I think, before all of the arms and stuff.
Now, he was on a medical doctor.
Oh, see, that's the thing.
Doc was a PhD doctor.
Is that true?
I think so.
I love PhD doctor, by the way. I think that was an accident, but I like it.
What about Doc Rivers?
Well, is he Doc Rivers? Because that's the thing. Is Doc short for doctor?
I mean, his real name is Glenn. So you could say it's Doc Glenn Rivers.
That's true. Well, it would be Glenn Doc Rivers. Doctor Glenn Doc Rivers. If he is a doctor.
I never really thought about the fact that his name sounds like a place to put a boat.
He's a doctor of the river.
Doc Rivers. Hey, where do I park this thing? Oh, the marina down there. The Doc Rivers. Okay, cool. Thank you.
What about Dr. J?
Who's a doctor of basketball?
I would say to ask a medical doctor about these things.
Yes.
And we need to figure out, because Mario definitely was acting as if he was a medical doctor.
Yeah.
Have we seen did he go to school?
I think Mario's got a handful of things. You're right. I don't think he's got a PhD.
How's he going to do that in between his plumbing job?
But see, here's the thing.
He's a busy man.
Mario's been doing a lot of things. Do we also think he's keeping up on that plumbing license?
He also does street racing on the side.
Here's the thing. Between all the war crimes Mario's committed, I don't think that plumbing license is current. I think that thing is expired, and I think anytime you hire him, That is a plumber with an expired license.
We need
that's a crime.
We need
on
one
top of the war crime.
We need an Ace Attorney Mario crossover, because we need a lawyer to prosecute Dr. Mario, or just generally Mario, for his various crimes.
He at least needs to be investigated.
At least investigated.
That's all I'm saying.
The next thing that Andy Reid talked about in his press conference just a little bit ago was if anything from the playoff game last year stuck out as they now are preparing for the Cleveland Browns once again, beat them in the playoffs last year, prepare for them week one here to kick off this season.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, they got a heck of a football team, and they feel like they've made themselves better this offseason. So, and I can understand why. They've added some a few people in the secondary, and they've added Clowney up front, and they've just, you know, the linebacker position is a little different. So, and then offensively, they've got a couple guys back, so they're pretty good football players, and so they're fully loaded, and you know, they're good and they're well coached. Kevin's done a nice job of them.
I said this whenever we were talking to Matt Derrick last hour. I really like this game as an opening sort of litmus test for this Chiefs team on a variety of levels. Talented pass catchers to test this secondary. Really good pass rushers to test this new look offensive line. Mm-hmm. A good quarterback who can use those weapons around him. I feel like I'm probably about in the middle of the road on Baker Mayfield, where like I think he is an excellent, you know, an excellent quarterback in the grand scheme of things. He is not a top five quarterback that's going to drag you to a Super Bowl, but is a good quarterback that could theoretically win one, right? I like all of it. I like this matchup for those reasons in the tests, but I also would be really surprised if the Chiefs lost this game. Yeah, not necessarily, you know, losing at Washington in a few weeks, right? Not that level of surprise. Not losing to the Eagles levels of surprise. But I certainly expect them to win this football game, probably by a touchdown. But I expect it to be a good litmus test just for the questions we've been asking about this team for what feels like 47 months. It's actually been, you know, more like six. But I'm really excited for all of those reasons, and I bet Andy Reid is relatively excited as well. He was asked by the aforementioned Matt Derrick about what it is that gets him most excited about this time of the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's the first game, and it's 1 of 17, so it's as important as the rest of them. It's just it's happening now, and there's nothing before this that's gotten you to this point. So there's unknowns. I mean, there's unknowns. If you're on the offensive side of the ball, what's the defense going to do? If you're on the defensive side, what's the offense going to do? What are the new looks on special teams that they're going to throw at you? So there's a little bit more unknown than you would have as you get through the third and fourth game of the season. So that's the part I get excited about. Like you get your juices going. Plus you're getting to start the season. I mean, that's always exciting. And here we get to start it at home, which is great, against a very good football team.
Juices are just flowing out here. Week one. It's great. The one thing that I will remind people of is that for the second consecutive year, because the playoffs expanded, there's only one first-round bye. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I don't really care what the Chiefs' record is. And you know, I think I said 14-3 somewhere recently. And that's not because I necessarily think there are three games they won't or shouldn't be favored in, but because it's now a 17-game, 18-week season.
It's just likely that you're going to lose.
Stuff just happens. Yeah. You know, and there are plenty of very losable games. There's one of these is on a short week.
At the Chargers.
At Chargers is a short week game. Like, you could see going either way, you know?
A Thursday game. They're talented. On the road. That is always happy. Now, they're fortunate, I guess, in the sense that the month prior to that, they are at home, but going on the road on a short week is always hard. And doing it against a good team makes it even harder, right? Like, I've seen the Chiefs go to Oakland when Oakland was bad and lose on a Thursday, right?
Absolutely.
So it happens. Doing it against a good team with a good quarterback,
and
that's tough.
And I'm not really all that, I don't know, at some point this week, maybe we'll kind of do the week one, that's a win, week two, that's a loss, week three, maybe we'll do that, I don't really care. But like, because it's all, you know, what the bleep is this team going to look like in week 13? You don't know.
I don't know who's healthy. For all we know, week 15, Justin Herbert had his lung punctured by the team doctor.
Sure.
And he's not even playing.
Right. And Willie Gay has one foot, and the sun has exploded and consumed the world. I don't know what the football world's going to look like in week 13.
Derek Carr is the new hot thing. Well, I think
Sorry. Could the sun explode and consume us all? Yeah. Could Derek Carr have an MVP season? Come on, Rudy.
I tried.
Come on. But, like, you know, it's those are moving targets, and trying to predict that from the 30,000-foot view, I could kind of take or leave. What does matter, though, and it matters a ton in games 1, 2, 3, and 5 this year, I'm skipping the Eagles because they're not that relevant in this particular conversation, is that first-round bye, you have tiebreakers that this could very well come down to. If you're 14-3, but you beat the Ravens, who are also 14-3 at the end of the year, or maybe you're 13-3 and they've got three losses already going into that last game of the season, whatever the math would be, where maybe all of a sudden you don't have to play your starters in week 18. You can have a couple weeks off if you'd like to get healthy. Whatever your metrics might end up being, you win these games against the Browns, Ravens, and Chargers in your first 3 weeks of the season. And you have won the tiebreaker already against the Browns and the Ravens, and you're at least going to split with the Chargers. You win in week 5, you have the tiebreaker over the Bills. The AFC, by the end of week 5, you're going to have a really good idea of where the Chiefs stand in the AFC.
The first 5 weeks of the season are, I mean, they're the most important for the Chiefs for that reason, right? Like you are playing against teams who you are playing against four teams who, in theory, are going to be right there with you competing for the number one overall seed, right?
So, like, maybe the four teams.
Yeah, like, those tiebreakers are they're crucial. My guess is the Chiefs are going to finish with a better record than all four of these teams to where the tiebreaker doesn't matter. But what if they do finish with the same record as Buffalo? Under the new playoff format, we will see more teams that have to play that first week win the Super Bowl because there's just now an extra team playing that first week. But we have seen, especially for us, you know, as Chiefs fans, and actually paying attention to this the last 3 years, how important that first round bye is.
Because it's not just that you don't have to play that game. Because let's say, now again, the AFC's got some interesting teams in it. Sure. Let's say the Chargers are the last wild card team. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs beat the Chargers in the wild card round of the playoffs. 75% of the time at Arrowhead, 80% of the time. Those are great odds on a football sliding scale. Yep. But 100% is a much better place to be, and you don't physically have to play that game. Clyde and Darrell Williams both got banged up in the preseason. Willie Gay Jr. is missing the first 3 weeks of this season because he hurt his toe in the third preseason game. Yep. And those are in partial games, basically, for these guys. You don't need Clyde or Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce to take any extra hits in a wild card game against the Chargers because you couldn't get that first round bye. Like, not having to play is so beneficial on so many levels. You can start preparing for your potential opponents the next week. You have a 0% chance of losing as opposed to a 25% chance of losing. And you can simply rest your bodies and not have to add more damage. You get an extra week off instead of getting an extra week of going through another car crash when you're already playing an extra game in the regular season this year. It might be more important than ever, especially if you have a guy that maybe suffers an injury in week 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Can he come back in time for the wild card game? I don't know. Can he come back in time for the divisional round game? Yeah, sure, great. That's how the timeline winds up for this person. Okay. It's vitally important, and it's crazy, but, I mean, really, by the end of week 5... We're not going to know for a fact, but we are going to have a really strong idea of who ends up being the runaway favorites for the one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, we'll know who's in the driver's seat. We won't know who's
going to... Or at least we'll know if the Chiefs are. I don't know everyone else's schedule off the top of my head.
That's true. Yeah, for the Chiefs, we will know kind of like... And here's the deal. If the Chiefs start off the year 3-2, there's still an incredible chance of them getting the one seed because they could literally win out, right?
Right.
They're just that good. But you're going to know if the Chiefs start off the year 5-0, like they are now, like they are in the front seat for the one seed.
They are
leading that race.
Think about the 5-0 thing. So they beat the Browns, Ravens, Chargers, Eagles, and Bills. Okay, they're 5-0. Each of those teams have at least one loss, obviously. And it could be a couple losses. Again, I think the Browns and Ravens might play each other within that first 5-week stretch as divisional rivals. It seems pretty likely that they would. you're going to have one of those teams that's probably out of first round bye contention. If the Chiefs are 5-0, then they have to lose one more game than one of those teams, at least one of those teams, when they then go play Washington, the Titans, Packers, Giants, Raiders, Cowboys, Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos. And I just don't. I think that seems incredibly unlikely, barring a devastating injury.
So the Browns, this is weird. So the Browns do play the Chargers in the first 5 weeks. So
really?
The Chiefs start off 5-0. The Browns and Chargers are guaranteed to have two losses, just because
one of the two of them.
One of the two of them. They don't play the Ravens till till November 28th, and then their very next game. Now there is a bye for the Browns at the very least in here. They go to the Ravens November 28th, and then they host the Ravens December 12th. So the Ravens got the Browns have a back-to-back with the Ravens with a week off scheduled, obviously, in between. But that is an interesting, like, you don't see that almost, I mean, hardly at all.
The Chiefs have had some late-season divisional things as well that have been kind of weird, but never a back-to-back, again, bye week notwithstanding.
The Ravens,
I'm on the Ravens one also.
They also play the Chargers in their first five games.
Oh, interesting. So the Chargers.
Sixth game. Sixth game is the Chargers game.
The Ravens in that stretch. Sorry if no one thinks that schedule talk is this interesting, but the Ravens go Browns, Raven. They go Browns, Ravens, Ravens, Steelers, Ravens, Browns. So they go Browns at home, at the Steelers, at the Browns in three consecutive weeks. If the Ravens are like 10 and 11, 12 win team at that point, that 3 week little chunk, and then they get the Packers at home. That 4 week stretch right there is gonna be fascinating.
And like, obviously this kind of makes sense. Like the Chiefs and the Chargers schedule is going to be very similar, with just the exception of, you know, the Chargers don't play themselves, Chiefs don't play themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chargers also have the Ravens, the Browns, and the Chiefs, you know, in that first, you know, 6 weeks of the season. Like, depending on how things go for the Chargers, like, their division hopes can be over very quickly.
My only complaint is that it's Monday. Because yeah. I now would very much like to, I would sim to Sunday right now if I could. Mm-hmm. Because I would like to see this Browns game happen, and then I'll probably be more nervous about the Ravens game, and, you know, then you get the Chargers and Justin Herbert and all of that. I'm excited for football.
By week six, and for, I mean, again, you know, just looking at the other team's schedules, because the Chiefs obviously, like, they go to Washington, who, like, obviously there's a game the Chiefs should absolutely win. I don't, you know, Ryan Fitzmagic, man, like, it, you know, it helped the Chiefs out a couple years ago, but, you know, just, I'm never going to say Ryan Fitzmagic can't hurt the Chiefs.
You know,
just never going to say.
You know, we could say if that leading up to that week, I'd like to be the first one to make this pun about a month in advance. We could be seeing the revenge of the Fitz.
Ooh.
A zone quality joke here in the zone. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Rudy Salazar, Beers McFly. More zone next. Just a little bit more zone here before Mick Schaefer joins us. That'll be next hour. He'll be in studio, I think. I haven't heard from him yet, but he confirmed on a day earlier this week he'll be here.
He's always here.
I don't know.
Mick is everywhere you need him to be, and everywhere you don't want him to be.
We need to figure this out, because usually we have Mick on Fridays on AES, but
yeah.
Our Friday shows have been consumed by high school football, which you can now hear Fridays here on 810. And so I'm wondering.
And KU football.
What?
And KU football.
KU football last Friday, but
also
most
this Friday.
It's also this Friday. You're right. Actually, yeah. We got double Fridays of KU football. All right. My apologies.
Football, you play on Friday.
My apologies to the undefeated Kansas Jayhawk football team. But we got football on Fridays now.
Football on Fridays.
And we have not gotten to talk to him on AES since his snake incident. Now, I know he has talked about that on this show before, but I think we might need to ask him to talk about the snake situation today.
He just texted me. He says he's on his way.
He said he texted me and said, "I'm coming. Keep your pants on or not." Mick Schaefer's next.